Good morning. Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Hope y'all are ready. It's time for WFHR's Playmakers. Let's start the show. Good afternoon, everyone. I got it that time, Randy. Your host, James, behind the mic. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Randy Paul joining us on this Monday and only edition of Playmakers this week.
That's right.
Appreciate you being here, Randy. We're going to have some fun. Randy's got a bunch of high school coverage for us. I've got possibly my hottest take yet, Randy. We will get to that, of course, as a sports talk show has to. And we've got a bunch of other coverage, certainly of the weekend of football, and plenty more to talk about. But we kick off this show. Oh, I should mention as well, we will open up the phone lines in a little bit. Looking forward to talking with all of you. We are looking forward to talking with Bob Brickhauser right now. We're going to talk about the Assumption Cranberry Classic coming up. It's right around the corner. Looking forward to diving into this one. First off, Bob, always appreciate you joining us. It's become a real fun tradition of ours and something I look forward to every year. And this year in particular, though, I want to thank you because we did not have to start off talking about my team losing to your Packers. So thank you for giving me that grace this morning. I greatly appreciate this afternoon. I greatly appreciate that. Bob, what number are we on for Cranberry Classics?
We're on the 40th.
How about that, Randy?
Wow.
40 of them.
Oh,
and it's pretty impressive.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, always appreciate the company and having you here with us. Randy, how excited is it over there on campus, if you will, with Assumption and this games, these games coming up?
Yeah, it's always a special time of year. It kind of kicks off the year, even though there's, you know, a game ahead of time with the girls are going to be playing already this Thursday. And I'm looking, I think, at next Tuesday as well against Edgar. So they got a couple of games before, but then the boys take over at the Classic. And it's always fun because the place is packed. You got a lot of local teams, which you can just share a little bit about, Bob, as well. And, of course, you always have those great concession stands as well.
Thank you, Randy. Yes, we have very much a local flavor this year. Both the boys and girls teams from Assumption, Columbus Catholic, and from Nacoosa are participating. And on the boys' side, we have the varsity and JV Port Edwards teams. And on the girls' side, we are welcoming back Pittsfield this year. They were in the tournament many years, and then took a little hiatus, and they're now back competing. And it has as much of a local flavor you could almost have. You know.
So. Yeah. You know, in recent years, it's been nice to welcome in some of these teams from out of town and everything. Right. It's kind of nice to have this. It's such a local favorite to have these local teams in, and have you know, parents and relatives being able to not go too far to be able to see these games and take them in. And as Randy you know, pointed out, of course, those concessions. We want to make sure to hit that hard here in this interview with those great concessions over there. But yeah. It's fun to have these teams involved.
Yeah, right. I think that you know, like you said, it's nice sometimes to have some variety, but you know, a local flavor really helps attendance. You know, if teams that came from like Leona, Wabena are only going to bring so many people.
Yeah.
But we have very much a local flavor this year, and we're very much looking forward to the tournament.
You know, Bob, one of the other things that's always fun is, like, even after the games, when the things are wrapping up, to see all of these local fans just intertwined on the court.
Exactly.
And just enjoying one another's company. You know, yeah. Competition's fierce, and yet afterwards everybody gets together and enjoys each other.
Yeah, leave the game on the court.
Right, yeah. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah. And I just, as long as you brought it up, I'll talk about the concession stand. We have an outstanding concession stand, thanks to Mrs. Tara Dillman and Mrs. Sarah Shaw. And no, it's not Sarah. I'm sorry.
Sarah's the player.
Sarah's anyway, Shannon.
Shannon
Shaw. They do a great job with the concession stand, and it's very, very well received.
Really appreciate them doing that. Appreciate all the volunteers and all the people that put so much into this to build up to this event. How long is the planning going on for this one, Bob? I always like to remind people how much prep goes into this.
Well, you know, as far as we put together a booklet for the tournament, mm-hmm. and we sell advertising, so we basically start on that back in September because you have to give people a chance to get the ads approved and so forth. In fact, I have the final proof with me, which will be my homework tonight. And but then we have a very good committee, and I don't have all the names here, but we added a couple new people this year, the Kavanaughs and Jen Oswald. And we had a meeting here about a week ago, and we signed different duties, and everything seems to be coming together very, very well. So.
Really good to hear. Yeah. So now we're just waiting for the games. When does everything kick off, Bob?
at 9 o'clock Friday morning. The games are the tournament is always on the Friday and Saturday after Thanksgiving, which this year is November 29th and November 30th, and it's as late as it can be based upon the calendar. But we start at 9 o'clock with JV girls on Friday morning. We do the girls' games first. There's two JV girls' games at 9 and 10:15, and then the varsity girls at 11:30 and 1:15. And then right after that, we start with the boys' JV, two JV boys' games, and two varsity boys' games. And then on the Saturday, we again have eight games starting at 9 o'clock in the morning. And it's basically a consolation type tournament. You know, winners play winners, losers play losers. So all the I like to think that there aren't any losers, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Well, especially the people that get to attend this. Nobody loses there. Everybody gets to have a good time.
And the coaches, I think I see them doing a lot of experimentation. Like for the girls, it's, you know, probably the second or third game. For the boys, it's the initial game, you know, and you think you know exactly what you want to do, but once you start the game, you get to evaluate how your players react.
So. It's one of my favorite things about the early start to a sports season, especially at this level in high school, where they're putting out different lineups than they might normally try or things like that, and giving even some rep time to players that may not get it always. So that's a fun part of the game, I think, for your fans, your diehard fans especially. They're going to be watching a lot of these games throughout the season. And what a great way to kick off a very exciting high school basketball season, Randy.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun this year. You know, when you're speaking that way, it was just reminding me a little bit of like John Tonji, right? He comes in from Missouri, played only eight games last year and goes off for 41 the other night. Sometimes that happens. You know, get a transfer in, or you get a kid who maybe moved up from JVs. You didn't expect them to be that good, and you get a chance to get a little playing time and prove themselves on the court against other competition too.
Exactly. And the other thing I just want to mention, it's amazing how many people come for the 9 o'clock game and are still there when we close up at 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
So,
besides yourself.
Yeah, well, you know, the fee is $5 per day, so you're seeing all those games for about 60 cents a piece. So.
Yeah, you want to get your money's worth.
You are not going to find a better deal anywhere, especially for those of us that just can't get enough basketball.
That's right.
This is a dream day for those of us. People can have their shopping and all those things. This is what I want to do right after Thanksgiving. This is the only thing that I want to do. And we appreciate Assumption, appreciate all these schools coming together to do this. Certainly you and all your the people working on this, Bob. Appreciate it. Before we let you go, though, I don't know if I've ever gotten a chance to do this. And we've been doing it for a while, and I thought of it the other day. I try really hard not to ask you too many, you know, hardball questions here, Bob, or anything. Mm-hmm. But after all the years of doing this, is there anything you look forward to, maybe a little more than other things? Is there any one thing that you really are excited about? And you don't have to give me just one thing, but is there anything that you're excited about this year or in years past, you know, building up to it?
Well, I always look forward to the concession stand because that's about the best.
That's my guy. Yeah. 100%, 100%.
But no, I think it's just the kickoff to the basketball season. You know, I've had a lot of kids and grandkids that have played high school basketball, and I just very much enjoy the competition, enjoy seeing what different teams have, you know, so forth.
The other fun thing is, you know, those kids that play basketball that you maybe haven't seen, you know, consistently, and now it's basketball season again, and now you get to see those kids that are constantly on the team and some of those families as well, so you spend more time with them in the next 3-4 months as well.
That's exactly right, yeah. And, I think it's going to be a very competitive tournament on both sides. The Assumption boys are, you know, particularly, I think it'll be more competitive, not that they weren't last year, but they were very, very young last year, and you know, they've had a chance to mature. I know they spent a lot of time in the off season working on their skills and so forth, and I look for some very, very good basketball.
Yeah, you know, you got Nakusa coming back, Nash Kretschmar over there, the quarterback for the football team. Right. He's a talented basketball point guard, and you got a bunch of kids back. I think they got about four seniors maybe on that team at least. So they're going to be a little experienced. That makes a huge difference because your kids have been so young over the years over at Assumption. It's finally getting to that point where they're going to be juniors and seniors.
Yeah.
And the Port Boys will have a nice team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, of course, Columbus is a perennial power in boys basketball.
Columbus just keeps kicking them out like they do. They just keep putting out good product teams. So similar to the Assumption girls team, they're consistent, very consistent programs, which makes for a really fun tournament. Like there's great storylines with all these kids, all these teams, and it's just a great kickoff to the season. And we can't wait for it. That's already now I do want Randy to rest his voice. I do think you need, because we're going to be broadcasting a lot of these games. We're going to be enjoying this too.
Yeah, it's always a great time.
Yeah.
I should just mention, I think, you know, the Assumption girls have back everyone from last year, except for Kendall Dillman, who was hurt for part of last year. So I expect them to be very, very competitive. And they got to the sectional final game last year.
Lost by a point.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they got Ayanara's sister, who is now going to be eligible to play on the varsity as well.
Yes. So I forgot about that.
Gonna be, she develops over the year, too.
Exactly.
That's going to be fun.
It should be.
We're very excited. Thank you so much for joining us, Bob. Always appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much. I enjoyed doing this also. And like I say, our 40th Cranberry Classic, and my son tells me, who's the athletic director, I should mention, says I only have to do 10 more.
So. Hey, there you go. Hey, we're going to get those checked off for you, sir.
We both can hit number 50, right?
I'm pulling for you. I'm pulling for both of you. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
The Cranberry Classic taking place over at Assumption High School kicks off Friday, November 29th. We'll be talking about this and building it up, and making sure that you make plans to get on over there. Randy and I will be back with more Playmakers here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Randy and James here with you. Thank you so much for joining us. We send a big, gigantic thank you to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. We're here thanks to them. Big shout out to them. For all your printing needs, head on over to 8th Street South and visit our friends, Phil and the gang over there. Be sure to join us on Wednesdays on our morning show, around 8:45-ish, I'd say, with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday. Phil joins us. Looking forward to that. And a gigantic thank you to the legend, Mr. Bob Rickhauser, joining us. Always appreciate talking with him, Randy.
Yeah, it's just a wonderful person. It's just fun to chat with him here, whether you're over at Assumption doing some games or whatever you might be there for. Just a great person to walk into and talk to.
Yeah, we greatly appreciate that. We're so excited about the Cranberry Classic. We're going to be talking more and more about this in the next couple of weeks as we build up to it. And I'm just happy to be talking about basketball. Very excited about that. I love basketball. Very excited about the high school basketball season, especially with what you guys, Bob and you, were talking about there towards the end. Gave us a little bit of a preview, sort of high school basketball in this area coming up this season for our boys and girls, which I don't know, maybe I'm looking at this with rosy-colored eyes or something, but I really feel like every team in our local area here has a good storyline and something to follow all season long, regardless of wins or losses. But those wins and losses could be quite interesting, too. So
hope always springs eternal, right?
Randy, I want to talk with you about the Badger game over the weekend. I think there's a lot to talk about there.
Or football?
Both. We're definitely talking both. But I have to, and we'll get to some River Kings conversation. Randy, he's got some great local coverage for us, some high school coverage we'll get to as well. After our second break here, we'll come back with the high school coverage and everything. But I have to start here with arguably my hottest take ever. I don't do hot takes really, Randy, but you know, you're going to run a sports show. You got to do it. It's the game. Mm-hmm. You've got to be able to do sports takes. So I have it. I have the take of all takes. And I actually had it before the Green Bay-Chicago game. I was actually on my way to go watch the game when it occurred to me. Because I've already moved on from Matt Eberflus. I know that he's still there technically, but and I mean no ill will to him. This is not personal. This is business. He seems like actually a really good guy and a very a pretty good defensive coach. Once you just let him be in charge of defense and all that, I wish him well in his next stop. But he's a dead man walking. He was before that game. He was after the game, of course, and will be all season long. There is no way you can bring him back. There wasn't back before they played Washington, let alone after that game and everything that has followed. I have the next head coach of the Chicago Bears. I know who it should be. Now, I'm not saying this will happen, and I'm not saying it will work. But I am saying it would be the greatest storyline we could have.
His first name isn't Bill, is it?
It is. It is Bill Belichick. That is exactly who I think the next Bears coach should be. I have gone to the dark side, Randy. I've never been over here before. I grew up on the other side of the track, sure, but I've never been on the dark side before. I've never been a fan of anything involving the Patriots. I didn't want Brady, even though it might have helped my team. I don't think Brady would have won another Super Bowl had he come to Chicago, but there was talk of that. And I was told, as I had this take, apparently Belichick talked pretty well about the Bears organization at one point or something. It should be noted, you know, not for nothing, as a side note, whatever you think of Bill Belichick, you ever get the chance to hear him talk about, like, Jim Brown or Walter Payton or any old running backs? My God, man, listen to the man go on. He is such a historian. And just, he talks about them, and he sounds like he's 12 or 13 again. Like, he's just giddy about it.
And I've seen him do videos, just dissecting video and showing this. And, you know, it was a whole half-hour show of the plays, you know, and yeah, you can tell that he's got a little experience behind him.
I really think that this is a win-win for Chicago and Green Bay. If you're a Green Bay fan and Belichick were to be gone, and let's put this out there real quick, everybody. The Bears, one time, and I believe in their history, or at least in the last 30 years, have hired a veteran coach. They tend to like hire rookie coaches. That's just what they do. Go ahead and look at the history of it. John Fox is pretty much the only veteran coach they've hired in recent memory. Going back to Ditka, Lovie Smith, Dave Wannstedt, all these guys, assistants. This was their first head coaching job in Chicago, along with, of course, the recent run of go ahead and insert name and tell. If I pulled up a picture of Mark Trestman and Matt Nagy, could you tell the difference? I don't think anybody could. I don't know if their families could. Regardless, especially the way they coached. Belichick, if you're a Packer fan, comes in. And look, the odds of that working are very slim. So you just sit back and eat your popcorn. And when it doesn't work out, you get to say, look, even that guy couldn't make it work. And if you're a Chicagoan, what better way to show to your fan base for the first time in maybe a 20-some years that you actually care and you're focused and you actually are trying to compete with the rest of the NFL? Because right now, you have gone and not only lost with a Hail Mary that shouldn't have happened and lost to maybe the worst team in football in New England Patriots. But then you finally did the one thing that your fan base has been asking. Give me a competitive game. Just give me a competitive game. Now, a blocked kick can happen.
Right.
I was just before that game talking about when it went the other way. During the, for me, the more famous games in this series of Bears and Packers, where during the weekend Walter Payton passed away and the Bears won off of a blocked PAT. Mm. So this happens. But it doesn't have to happen. Because of good coaching, it doesn't have to happen. If you take those last 30, 40 seconds and move the ball a little bit closer, where Cairo Santos, who is a very good kicker, and I still stand by, is a 7-for-7 on the season, the difference in those 5 to 6 yards, that's coaching. That's a coaching decision. On Caleb Williams. That's not on Cairo Santo or the holder. Maybe my favorite Bear of all, our punter. Taylor's awesome, man. That kid's awesome. I love that Aussie. That doesn't happen. So, you know, and you have here, and we're sitting here today talking about what I really actually think we should be talking about is there's some if Green Bay goes into the playoffs with that performance, you're going home. There's no way you're getting around that.
Right.
You're going home.
Right.
So that's what I think we actually should be talking about. But I had to get all that out of my system, Randy. And I gave myself a minute, and I want to thank you and the audience for putting up with it.
Well, you know,
I also have to say, I'm so sorry. Sure. One last thing I had to get in. This, I've had a number of friends of mine who are Packer fans, texting me and all that and ribbing me, which that's cool. That's fine. That's part of the game.
Sure.
But asking me, oh, doesn't this hurt? Oh, doesn't it hurt? Man, as soon as that kick was setting up, I stood up so that I get a good angle on it. And so I could swallow it when it happened. I didn't know if it was going to be a block. I didn't know if it was going to be a miss. But this doesn't crack the top 20 of a Bear Packer losses for me. It doesn't even come close. And if anything, if you're somebody who wants Eberflus out of there, this is almost a good thing in some ways. You had the best of both worlds. I had a competitive game. I had everything I wanted in that game, and we lost. Yeah, so we still take the L, which gives us a better draft position, which because as Bear fans, this is all you got. This is it. Anybody that came into this season hoping for playoffs, I got a bridge in San Francisco to sell you. I got a place on the moon that's beautiful. You're going to love it. I got some things to sell you. But I'm so sorry, Randy. Okay. What were you going to say?
Well, there's so many different things. You know, when they're lining up for the kick, I thought the only possibility, because he's a good kicker, right, is if it's a bad snap, right, and he muffs it or something like that. And as soon as he kicked it, you know, I was just watching it, and it looked like it, you know, it took off. But then you re-listen to it, you hear it go thump, thump. You know, you could hear that second thump. And immediately the Packers started celebrating. I'm like, why are they celebrating? You know, that ball's still flying, not realizing that it was, you know, going end over end.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Like you said, that interesting stat, from outside of 40 yards, Santos was 75%. Inside 40 yards, 100%. If there was fear, and I don't know if that's what he said in the postgame, I don't know for sure, but if there was fear of a fumble, I think the fumble percentage was 0.46%.
And if you're worrying about that, that's coaching too. That's you don't trust your players enough, you don't believe your players enough, and you don't think that you're coaching them well enough that they can't handle a snap in the last seconds there, something that they hopefully have been practicing all week long.
And I think I heard this morning too, they said the Chargers ran for this touchdown right at, you know, yep, the last whatever 18 seconds, yep, basically like a 29, basically about the same place where the Bears were, where they decided to run off like 35 seconds. The Chargers instead run another play, get a touchdown, win by 7. But that went down to a Hail Mary, yeah, too, yet.
And let's be honest, none of this matters, because if you went to NFL.com today and you saw a recent, in less 20 minutes, they posted the Bears to send video of the Packers blocked field goal to league office for review. So this, of course, this will change everything, and the Bears season is completely different now, and that'll change the franchise. And oh, no. It won't mean a darn thing.
I was waiting for the flag, because when you saw them, you know, you're supposed to leave the center alone nowadays, mm-hmm, and they kind of pinched in both the defensive tackles,
yeah,
and went over the,
yeah,
top of him.
Oh, it was a great block.
Yeah.
It was really. I got to say, I love special teams, and I love – you don't get to see the big men have fun like that very often and celebrate.
Yeah, just think that's 2 weeks in a row, because Denver had the same thing happen to them with Kansas City the week before.
It's usually a Mahomes or somebody like, yeah, that scores the winning touchdown or has the winning play for the guy – the no-name, for the guy just grinding, the third backup defensive lineman or something like that. Like, more power to him. That's cool. That's always cool to see. I don't care if I'm a fan of football. I love that.
As a Bears fan, were you? What was your take on Caleb Williams yesterday, getting rid of the ball quickly?
Much better. And you know what I want to see? Part of the reason I want to see Eberflus out of there, I want to see this OC as the head coach for 7 games. And I want to see if he could possibly be my real head coach. Belichick is not going to be the Bears head coach. For one, I don't know that they're going to let go of Pace, their GM. And I think Belichick wants to be the GM. Okay. And as I mentioned, they don't hire veteran coaches, let alone maybe the biggest vet in all of free agency of coaching. The Bears aren't going to do that. And they wouldn't pony up for him or anything like that either. So in all honesty, if I can't get Thomas the OC right now for the Bears, boy, I would love to bring in the kid, Ben Johnson from Detroit. I don't know why he would take the job other than Caleb Williams, because Caleb Williams is the real deal. Like, you want a true hot take? That was a joke hot take. I do joke hot takes. I mean, there's a billion hot takes out there. I don't really see the point in it or anything. But what if you really do want me a take that you can play back and, you know, rub in my face or anything like that, I am 100% Caleb is my quarterback. 100% in with this kid. I love his attitude. I love his imagination, the way he approaches the game. And I don't know if you're paying attention or not, but this kid is learning week to week. And if you look what happens if you give him some decent coaching, just decent. Talk about an OC that's never done this before either. You got two rookies in there right now. You got a rookie offensive coordinator, and you got a rookie quarterback in there. And they're both giving you, I thought, a pretty darn good game against a defense with a bunch, 7, 8 first-round picks on it, and a defense that's supposed to be a playoff defense. I thought they played pretty good. I was pretty impressed with Caleb Williams. I don't need 400 yards. I don't need 4,000 yards passing. That's for the graphics department at Fox. That's for, you know, the talking heads, and gives them something to talk about. Give me W's. Just give me a competitive game, give me W's, and there is one thing I do not doubt about Caleb Williams. He eats, sleeps, and breathes football. This is what he does. This is what his passion is. He's going to die trying to get us a Super Bowl. He's going to die trying to make us competitive. We got one position, a couple positions down, if you ask me. I love Roma Duse. That's maybe my favorite young receiver in football right there. I love that kid. And Caleb Williams, between those two, that's not a bad start. You got to do a lot about that offensive line. You got to do a lot about coaching. And then you're resetting again.
Because the defense is fine.
Yeah, defense I have no problems with. But you're going to automatically going to be resetting if you're Chicago. Mm-hmm. You've already taken this kid's rookie season, and outside of the reps he has gotten and learning he has done, you have wasted it. As a GM, I like Ryan Pace a lot, and I like a lot of the things he's done. But a lot of things have fallen into his lap. Getting Carolina to take that this all happens because Carolina agrees to that trade. If you don't get that sucker bet, a lot of his other decisions have been questionable. Mm. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens there with his position as well as obviously the rest of the whole thing. But focusing on what we should be, an actual competitive team, a team that deserves our time, and the Green Bay Packers. This has been... You wanted Jordan Love to inherit certain things from Aaron Rodgers and learn certain things from him. Not the red zone pick. Not the bad decision. Not the, I'm the smartest guy in the field and I can make this play happen thing. Jordan Love does not come across like that kind of guy, but he's playing like that guy a little bit. And he's a young quarterback. He's under, 20, 30 starts in his career? He's still learning at some of these things. But unfortunately, unlike Caleb Williams, where that's a building project who knows for how long, this is go time for the Green Bay Packers. And they were everybody's darling coming into this season. Jordan Love was an MVP pick and everything. And right now, miss me with the injuries. He had a week off. Everybody's hurt. It's between the ears with this kid right now that you want to see better decision making. I think Jordan Love at the end of the season could be holding up the Lombardi Trophy and be the MVP of the Super Bowl. I wouldn't be laughing at anybody taking that bet. I think that's a very fair bet to take right now. But you got to get to that point, and he's got to start learning quick. It's go. He's got to learn now. There's no chance for, well, we just got to keep, there's no way that we should be talking about Green Bay winning statistically because of what happened. You happen to play a team that's, I don't know, that just, that team, whatever they are. So if they lose that game, how is the microscope on Jordan Love and that coaching staff right now and some of the decision-making going on and some of the choices that they're making? I don't know if they're just trying to figure things out and throw things out there, but how are you as a Packer fan feeling you're watching that game, Randy?
Well, the one pick he had, he just got a little excited on overthrew the intended receiver. It wasn't a bad decision. It was just a high throw, and it sailed and happened to have a bear in the corner of the end zone, so that pick was... And, later in the game, when he ran that last one and he got to the one-yard line, he probably was afraid of getting a pick. So he looked around and thought, too tight a window, I don't want to get a pick and get, criticized for that. So that's why he runs it and doesn't make it at the two. And LaFleur's like, well, we may not get the ball again, It's that kind of possession. They only had, three in the first half, so they had a minimal amount. So from that standpoint, you could see why he didn't kick the field goal. On the other hand, you're like, boy, we sure wish we'd just needed a field goal. And the interesting thing was, if the... Packers do kick the field goal and they go up by four. Mm. It would have forced the Bears to get a touchdown to win.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have even been in the situation to kick a field goal. And I said, you look back on it, and sometimes that's a blessing because if they have to go for a touchdown, sometimes they make it, right?
Yeah.
Whereas now they just play cautious and they don't get it in. Romeo Dobbs, I think he only got targeted once yesterday and he dropped that one that he was targeted.
Yeah.
They just didn't complete it. He didn't throw a lot of passes yesterday either. I can't remember the number right off the top of my head, but
I will say, the way Jacobs was running and the fact that they have nobody in that interior line in Chicago, I don't blame them for running the ball as much as they did, but the play calling was really weird.
Yeah,
I don't know.
They had second and one, right, from about the six, and it's like, well, they're going to pound, him three times, and they'll get a touchdown out of it, and then they get a penalty, and then they go backwards, and they end up not getting that out of it. He only did throw 17 passes. That's what he was. He was 13 for 17 with the one pick, but he still had 261 yards, but a lot of that, I think that was 60 yards that time to Watson, so got a lot of that. But Jacobs yesterday, 76 yards rushing, 58 yards receiving, so he got 134 yards of total offense for the Packers.
I don't know that he's going to make any all-pros or anything like that, but boy, there are some moments that I just enjoy watching Christian Watson play, some nice adjustments to the ball, similar to what you saw with Roma Duse on that drive, what could have been a game-winning drive and everything. Adjustment to the ball, adjusting to your quarterback, the connection that you have with the quarterback. Christian Watson and Jordan Love, it may not always show on the field, but you can tell that they are working on this, that they have been trying very hard to learn each other very much in their body languages.
Yeah, and just keeping Watson on the field healthy has been a challenge the last couple of years.
It's going to be, This is also an opportunity. You had a great thing happen for you for the Green Bay organization. If you are a Green Bay Packer fan, you had almost the game that you did, everything you didn't want in that game pretty much happened in a lot of ways, and you still came out with a win. So for some, that could be, you know, you could look at this like some think Kansas City looks at these games like, oh, we can pull off every game at the last second, or BYU for that matter. Oh, we can pull off any win at the last second. But as you saw this weekend, neither of those teams are undefeated anymore. And I think a smart team sees something like this like, whew, okay, back to the drawing board. Let's work on this. Let's tighten this ship. We got lucky with that one. Let's not let that happen again. We just got, you know, what happened with Detroit. This game didn't go that well, I think. You got to build on these things. You have something here that you cannot guarantee is going to be there every season. We've seen this. We've seen for every team like the Chiefs that can, oh, well, every year they'll be in it with that guy. There's teams that...
The Bengals.
Yeah. The way that they talked about the Bengals with Carson Palmer, let alone with Joe Burrow. It's a similar thing with Palmer, though, where it was, oh, well, yeah, they're going to be competitive for the next 10, 20 years. Carson Palmer breaks up that leg in a playoff game and you don't hear from him again. As a kid, I thought the Philadelphia Eagles were going to win two Super Bowls, Randy. I thought Randall Cunningham and that defensive line of Reggie White and Jerome Brown and Clyde Simmons, and all, how could they not?
Yeah.
I'm sure they're going to win one and everything. So, yeah, that window tightens up quick. It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting, that's for sure.
Well, it's really going to be interesting over the next 2 weeks because on Sunday it's San Francisco at Green Bay, and then Thanksgiving Day it's Miami at Green Bay. And you got Tua out there, and you got Tyreek Hill. Mostert, who ran all over the Packers with the 49ers in a playoff game a few years ago.
It feels very weird to say this with a Bear-Packer game, but do you think there's any chance the Packers were looking at San Francisco with the boogeyman that has been for them?
Possible, just because, you know, you look at the sack numbers.
I think that happens more in college, I guess. But yeah. I did hear somebody say that. I thought it was worth throwing out there. But I don't know.
I don't know. In a rivalry, you think they wouldn't. But it's hard to, you know, they're young people.
It's the youngest team in the NFL.
You never know, right?
We'll take a quick time out, come back, and have some more Playmakers. Brought to you by Quality Plus Printing here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers. Randy and James here with you. Phone lines wide open, 715-424-2600. Hit us in the numbers. Call us up, 424-2600. We will talk some River Kings, talk some Badgers, both football and basketball. But Randy, you got some stuff for us.
You know, before we get to it, I got to say a great big thank you to the all kind things you said on Friday. That was very kind of you. And today happens to be my third grandson's golden birthday.
Oh awesome.
Yeah.
Oh,
so happy birthday, Elisha.
Happy birthday. Oh, it's a great name, too. I love that name. That's a great name. Happy birthday to him.
Thank you. So, in high school football action from the past weekend, the 8-player championship game was played at Southwood County Stadium right here in Wisconsin Rapids on Saturday afternoon. Talking a little bit to Bob Burkhauser, he was at the game as well. Owen Withey completes the undefeated season as they beat Lena St. Thomas Aquinas 50-36. Mason Gay set an 8-player state record with 6 touchdowns in that game, and he rushed for 321 yards on the contest. Not a bad night.
Pretty good game.
Yeah. Back on Friday night, the Level 4 games were played in 11-player football with a trip to state on the line. First in Division 1, the magic for DC Everest ran out as they fell to Bayport 35-21. The Pirates will now face Muskego, who upset third-ranked Maquonago 16-14. In Division 2, fourth-ranked Rice Lake held off number 6 West Appear 31-24 in Marshfield. They'll face top-ranked Slinger, who outlasted number 2 Badger 35-28. That'd have been a fun one to be
at.
From Division 3, right here in Wisconsin Rapids, number 1 Green Bay Notre Dame will level across Logan 41-21, much closer in the first half than the final score. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame will go against number 5 Catholic Memorial, who topped number 9 Wisconsin Lutheran 31-14. Division 4 saw number 7 Baldwin Woodville clobber undefeated and 6th-ranked Winneconne 40-16. BW will now go against 5th-ranked Racine St. Catherine, who upset number 2 La Crosse Aquinas 12-6. In Division 5, top-ranked Stratford scored on a 22-yard touchdown pass with under a minute to play and will head to state for the third consecutive year as they rallied past number 3 Prairie du Chien 26-25. The Tigers will now take on the Tigers of Wrightstown, that is, on Thursday at 4 p.m. In Division 6, 7th-ranked Grantsburg was 5 better than number 9 Bondewell, 34-29. They will match up against Lamira, who shut out Belleville 36-0. And from Division 7, wow, the Edgar Wildcats.
Yeah.
They're heading back to Madison to defend their crown as they scored with under 2 minutes remaining to defeat Boyceville 21-20. And James, the final drive, they had a second and 30. Hmm. On second down, they got 24 yards, and then they picked up the first down to keep the drive alive on third down. A foreign exchange student kicks the extra point, the game-winning point. Coach Jerry Sins wins his 100th playoff game. Just think about that.
100th playoff game.
I mean, most you can get in a year is five.
That's incredible.
That's if you win the state every year.
Yeah, that's incredible.
And this is now going to be their 15th state appearance. Hmm. That'll be Thursday at 10 a.m. as they will take on Potosi Cassville, who is top-ranked, and Edgar's number two. Potosi Cassville beat Kenosha St. Joe's 26-15. So all of that takes place Thursday and Friday down at the camp.
Exciting stuff. Thank you so much, Randy. Great coverage. Great work, as always. Let's talk a little River Kings real quick. As a big weekend for the Kings, took on the Minnesota Squatch, who are number one in the division, first place in the division. Kings looking to make some moves on that and go for them. Friday night's game, a 4-3 victory for the Minnesota Squatch. A well-played game. Very well-played game. You had everything that you could look for in that game. Things sometimes just don't go your way, especially with the cut of the ice and just the way it goes.
Both teams are almost identical in shots on goal, 41 for the Kings,
incredible.
43 for the Squatch. It actually went to a shootout, right?
Overtime,
neither team scored, and then they outscored the Kings 1-0 in that shootout.
And then Saturday night, a little more our way, 5-4 victory for your Kings. And again, a pretty similar story to tell as far as the score and everything. But something I just keep pointing to, because I do this in part because for your average hockey fan, I think this is a good tell of a game and that. And I think it's interesting even for your diehard hockey fans. Take a look at shots on goal. That's one of the first things you can look at if you're looking at a box score and everything. And when you see a good difference in that by a 10 to 15 shot, you're usually going to see your team win. Mm-hmm. And just in comparison, the Kings, 48-39 shots on goal. It's not just that, the peppering of the net and the time, the amount of those at the times that they do it.
And I think you talked about this last week of what a third period team this group is.
Yes.
The Squatch scored like 37 seconds into the third period. They won it 4-2.
Yeah.
And the Kings got three goals after that to win at 5-4. So the nice little rallying, like you said, they're a third period team.
17 shots to 8 by the Squatch in that third period. A big difference maker. And I'm sure we'll be talking about that with Coach the next time he's able to join us. Looking forward to it. Great weekend by the Kings. Follow your Kings as they build hockey up and down the river at riverkingshockey.com. Be sure to follow them on social media as well. And get excited, everybody, because we got some home games coming up next month. Really looking forward to. Let's fill out the Southwood County Rec Center and make sure that they know what home ice advantage is.
Yeah, and I think next weekend they're at the Detroit Showcase.
Yes.
So that'll be a busy time for coaching the boys.
Follow the boys a winner as they build hockey up and down the river, riverkingshockey.com, and safe travels to all of them this weekend and everything. Hope it's a good one. We'll get into our schedule a little bit later. I want to talk about some things happening here, but also over on our sister station, WIRI, got something pretty cool going over there. We'll get to all of that, but let's talk a little Badgers, Randy. And I think, we'll start with the loss and end with the win against Arizona, okay? That sounds good. First off, the Wisconsin fired offensive coordinator Phil Longo on Sunday, a day after the Badgers' 16-13 home loss to number one Oregon. In a statement, Coach Fickell thanked Longo for his two seasons with the program, adding, "We are not where we need to be and believe that this decision is in the best interest of the team." I think that this was a long time coming to some Badger fans, and to some, you just kind of gave us the game yesterday. There was a couple things that really stood out offensive play calling wise, especially in that fourth quarter, that I think had a lot of almost had him gone before the game was over. We're talking about human beings, and I don't like anybody losing their job. So I think people are a little too flippant on sports talk radio about firing people. And I try to be really careful with that. But I also am a big believer in, you're a big boy. You get paid to do a job. If you can't do that job, this is business 101. We got to bring somebody else in. I'm sorry. It's not personal. I think with Phil Longo, you had a good, a good guy, it seemed like, certainly. Mm-hmm. And a guy that the kids liked, but just didn't seem to be doing. I always felt like him and Fickell just weren't on the same page. And Fickell, I don't have any doubts about as a coach. I have no doubts about as a recruiter. We need to see a little bit more here. I think that you got one thing out of that game that nobody can take away. And not even a horrible rest of the season can take away. You got national respect. Locally, what people think is one thing, but nationally and recruiting wise, nationally, you got a lot of respect around the country from that game.
And I think it's the first time the quarterback for Oregon hasn't thrown for a touchdown this season. I think they've only given up like three in the last several games. But, you know, I think one of the things people forget is Braden Locke was the backup.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And he was, what, 12 for 28 for 96 yards, one TD, that pick that got batted up in the air at the end. A big play that happened in that game, they got called for a chop block, which, of course, everybody, even on TV, was saying it wasn't a chop block. Not saying they would have went down and scored and got a field goal and taken the lead, but instead of being at about the 40-yard line, they got pushed back to about the 8. Well, you know they weren't going to convert that with as much as they were struggling with the pass game.
Yeah.
So now they need to win one game. It's either at Nebraska next Saturday or else the following Friday when the Cranberry Classic's going on at 11 o'clock against Minnesota for the Axe at home.
Yeah, you want to win both those, of course. You got to win one of them.
Keep that streak alive. Yep.
Yes. Wisconsin ranked 101st nationally in scoring in Longo's 23 games as coordinator and failed to eclipse 13 points on its current three-game losing streak, which is obviously, you just can't keep your job that way. And you're almost in a situation very similar to Chicago where what do you have to lose? Give somebody young an opportunity, see if they can shake it up a little bit. You never know what can happen going forward. Similar to where Chicago actually, because the NFL, this doesn't happen. You don't gain respect for a close loss.
Right.
But in college, this can happen, and that's pretty cool. And interesting we can talk more Badger football if you want, Randy, but I was going to go right to the Badger basketball team because one of the things I thought was interesting is them going into that game, hey, let's hope that they can hang with Arizona. They can give them a good game. Well, how about we try to win that game?
Oh, my goodness. You know, I think there were 63 fouls called in that game.
Yeah.
Arizona had 32. Wisconsin had 31. Wisconsin was 41 out of 47 from the free throw line. When's the last time you heard somebody shooting 47
incredible.
Free throws? Isn't that
right.
crazy?
Yeah.
And how about Tanji, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I think he was at Colorado State, transferred to Missouri, played like four games, hurt himself. He only played a total of 8. I think I saw something like he averaged 2.3 points per game. Well, he put up 41 points the other night. The only person that's ever scored more for Wisconsin was at the game. Because they were honoring that 14-15 run that they had.
Yeah,
and they were honoring, Coach Bo Ryan, who just went into the Naismith Hall of Fame. Kaminsky had 43 against North Dakota, so a little bit better competition here than North Dakota.
Take
that granted. But
I knew it was Kaminsky. I couldn't remember who it was against. Oh, it was kicking me. Oh, all right.
8 for 14 from the field, 4 for 6 from the three-point line, 21 out of 22 free throws for Tanji. What a game he had.
Yeah.
So 103-88 over Arizona. And now they play tonight, too. We'll have it for you, right?
Yeah, we're going to have that game right here for you. We're going to get into our schedule in a moment. We will have that game for you lined up. Wisconsin men's basketball hosting Rio Grande Valley. That classic matchup, that rivalry. That
when it says Texas, you're like, ooh. And then it says Texas, Rio Grande Valley.
6 o'clock, we'll be kicking that off right here. Looking forward to it and everything. I should mention as well, if that's not your game, maybe hunting is. 6 o'clock on our sister station, 105.5 WIRI. Seth is going to have Countdown to the Hunt. Be sure to check that out, everybody. All week long, we are going to be having different highlights over there. Today, we're going to have the Wood County Wildlife in, talking a little hunting over there with our friends at the Wood County Wildlife. That'll be going again from 6 to 7 tonight. And then on Tuesday, Wood County DNR will be in. Always a good opportunity. Always appreciate being able to talk with our DNR. Mm-hmm. Any chance we get to do that. Wednesday, Raised in Wisco with Sean Becker. You know that's going to be good.
Oh, absolutely.
Sean's a great talker, man. That's going to be great. Thursday, Central Wisconsin 4-H Shooting Sports. That'll be great. I love our local 4-H. I get spoiled. I get to talk to the 4-H at least once a month and enjoy that. And we will wrap things up on Friday with women's bow hunting from UWSP. That is going to be a really interesting conversation. From 6 to 7, join us on 105.5 WIRI at Countdown to Hunting all week long. Tune in to hear from area experts and listeners like you. Help your school and be on the radio. Call into the show, ask a question, share a story or a hunting joke, and win money for your school. The school that gets the most shout-outs is going to win $500 in free advertising. That is pretty cool. Give them a call from 6 to 7 tonight, all week long, at 423-1055, 423-1055, just a touch or two away on the Civic Media app.
How fun is that going to be?
Oh, it's going to be great.
What a
it's going to be
week.
Great. I think this is the first of many, too. I think we're going to be doing this kind of thing going forward here every hunting season.
What was really exciting, I was sitting in some of the meetings where this was starting to be bantered about back in summer. It was really exciting how everybody was just so on board with it. And, of course, Michael Comer, our good friend, who always helps us out, he's a big hunter, so he had a part in that as well.
We gave Michael the week off of Playmakers on Wednesday so he could do this. And we don't have a Playmakers on Wednesday and Thursday this week. We'll get into that a little bit more later. But that is all the more reason we want your sports takes and feelings, everybody. We got a little bit less than 10 minutes when we come back to do that. Feel free to call up and join the conversation, 715-424-2600. Join Randy and I here on Playmakers. Welcome back, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Randy and James here with you. Phone lines are wide open. Hit us in the numbers, 715-424-2600.
You know, one more quick shout-out to Marquette, too. They're 4-0 as well.
Yeah.
And tomorrow night they take on Purdue, who just beat number 2 Alabama.
Yeah.
So you think
you
lose Zach Edey, you know, it's not going to be the same. So they're number 13, probably climbing the polls, too.
Boy, they just seem to have put all their recruiting into basketball over there at Purdue, because they did not really do much else. It's a shame. And a shout-out to them. Shout-out to Shaka Smart, too. I'm just enjoying that. For those that did not hear, about 8 minutes ago, the news broke that Pirates ace Paul Skeens was named the NL Rookie of the Year with 23 of the 30 first-place votes. Pretty solid thing. I think that's a pretty safe bet. There. Sticking with baseball news, today is award day. They're going to be announcing a lot of the awards. I was hoping they announce a little bit more of them while we were on the air, but congratulations, Paul Skeens. Definitely, that's the choice right there.
Yeah, I
don't know.
Deal, huh?
Yeah. Also, baseball just announced today that they the 14 newcomers that are going to be in the Hall of Fame ballot. A couple of big names on there, Felix Hernandez, Carlos Gonzalez, Dustin Pedroia, Hanley Ramirez, Fernando Rodney, Ian Kinsler, one of my favorite players of all time, Ben Zobrist, Troy Tulowitzki, Russell Martin, Brian McCann, Curtis Granderson, and Adam Jones. But the two big names on there are outfielder Ichiro Suzuki, who, it's kind of funny. Oh, I thought he was already in the Hall of Fame, you know. But, Ichiro, and pitcher C.C. Sabathia. And that is where we go with our stat of the show, Randy.
Ready.
CC gave us one of the better runs we've had in here in Wisconsin when it comes to baseball. CC was 11-2 with an ERA of 1.65 and 128 strikeouts in 17 appearances for the Brewers in that run that he had here. So my number today was 17 because I couldn't remember how many appearances. 17 when he was here for like a week.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even know they could play that many games in that time.
And wasn't it like one time either the playoffs or just to get to the playoffs, like he pitched on like 2-3 days rest,
yes,
and said, "I'm going out there because we've got a chance here."
I'm only slightly exaggerating here. He deserves to go into the Hall of Fame for that alone.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is what you make a move at in free agents or at the trade deadline for. It's everything you asked for. Now they didn't get what the ultimate prize, but he did every single thing you could ask for when you make a move like that. And whenever anybody is asking their team to make a move at the trade deadline, he is the example. Like it really is, and it's not just us doing this here and everything, but I've heard other talking heads and a lot of people I respect, like Buster Olney and Tim Kirkchin, talk about this and everything, where that run he had, they'd never seen anything like that. And you just, especially now, where our starting pitchers were lucky if they go 4 or 5 innings.
Mm-hmm.
This guy was giving you all of this and complete games.
Right. And he got ripped out of a no-hitter because they called an error on called a hit on what should have been an error.
CC, get that speech ready. Speech ready because you deserve to go in, sir.
And I don't know if it's somewhere on a video that you can find, but I did see one time on a talk show where he did like an hour show talking about his time in that year with Milwaukee, and he just could not rave enough. And you know, you expect him to because he's doing this for Milwaukee, but he seemed genuine about it. Like he really enjoyed time in Milwaukee.
I've heard him talk about Milwaukee too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's always talked really highly of the area and the team. He's one of those guys, you know, he means it when he says the fans and the organization. They don't always include both. He's one of those guys that always includes both on those. Taking a look at our schedule, as I mentioned earlier, coming up at 6, Wisconsin men's basketball hosting UT Rio Grande Valley. We'll have some great men's basketball there for you. On our sister station, WIRI, still sports going on, hunting, countdown to hunting with Seth going on over there. Be sure to join us from 6 to 7 all week long at 105.5 WIRI. Tomorrow, we'll have countdown to the hunt going on at 6, and then over also at 7:05, Lincoln High School girls basketball hosting Nina. Mike and Seth going to cover that one for you. That's going to be a good game.
Yeah, that'll be a nice start to the year.
No Playmakers on Wednesday because our own Melissa Kay will be at Aspirus Riverview Hospital with the Lights of Love tree lighting celebration.
Is it that time of year already?
Yeah, it's one of our favorites.
It is.
Send the warm vibes to Melissa and listen in here. We're going to have some great locals on the air with us. It's an event like no other. There is no event like it, and we appreciate being it. We're humbled to be a part of it and have it on our airwaves. Melissa's going to do an amazing job there with that. Then on WIRI, Countdown to the Hunt at 6, and 7:05, Luke Fickell Show right here at WFHR. Assumption Girls Basketball, taking on Newman Catholic, starting at 7 on Thursday on WIRI. Ooh, must listen to radio.
Exactly.
That is going to be a good one. Cannot wait for that game. And plenty more. We'll have Wisconsin men's basketball on Friday and more football on Saturday. Wisconsin at Nebraska should be a good one, Randy. Again, no playmakers on Wednesday and Friday this week.
You know, as you list off all those people who are doing all those shows, it just reminds me of our little local station here and the talented people that we have working here. It's just amazing. From you to Seth to Melissa to Beth, you know, on and on we go, Michael and so on. And Pam behind the scenes, she does a great job. It's our sales staff, you name it, they're just awesome. You know, you think of people like Don Chesborough, right?
Yeah.
I mean, with some of the things that he has been struggling with, that he still comes and helps us out if we get in a pinch. We are very blessed.
Yeah. We can't name enough of this team we have. Laura and Michael as well, and so many of you out there that help us with your calls and stuff. We appreciate you. We
Coaches
consider you a part
in,
of the team.
Right? Bob coming in.
Yes. As a big
community.
Thank you to Bob for being here. We're really humbled to do this,
yes.
Matt. This is a good living. This is a good life.
It is.
And we appreciate all of you. Thank you so much for joining us. I do want to remind everybody that in this time slot on Tuesdays and Thursdays, be sure to join us for Community Stories with Melissa Kay. On Tuesdays, you'll have Community Stories, adult version, and then on Junior Community Stories on Thursdays.
Fun.
Be sure to join us for that. That is a really fun show. It's only going to get better and better as it goes along. And we'll be back next week with more Playmakers for you, everybody. Collect those sports takes and feelings. We don't want you to, where did I put that sports take? Write it down so you don't forget it, and bring it to us next week on Monday when we'll have our next Playmakers. Big thank you to Quality Plus Printing, and a thank you to you, Randy. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you guys have a good night. We'll talk to you sooner than later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.